All right, we'll call the meeting to order. This is the Conference Committee on Agriculture, Veterans Affairs, Finance, and Policy, somewhat maybe we'll see. I'm Representative Al Junke and Senator Jim Bickerman. We're the co-chairs, I guess, just to be helpful, at least around the table. Well, we might do the audience too, Senator Bickerman. I always like to know in my committees when we start a couple things. I like to know who you are and where you're from, and then I like to know where you went to high school, just so I can understand maybe we have some commonalities in the room. So if you'd allow, I'll start, and then we can kind of go around the table. And I want to know who the lobbyists and interests are in here, too, and where they went to high school. So if you do that really quick, I think it helps get things off to a good start. So I'm Al Junke, state representative from Wilmer in Kandy, Ohio County, and I went to high school at Wells Easton High School down in the southern part of the state. And let's just go around the table this way. Well, why don't you introduce yourself first?
I'm Senator Jim Bickerman. I live in Murray County, went to school in Tracy.
I'm
from Tracy.
I'm Kate Byer, I'm the CA for the Ag Committees in the House, and I went to school in Wilmer.
Jim Reinholz, fiscal analyst with the House, and I went to high school at Robertsville High School.
Colby Sullivan, the House research analyst for agriculture, and I went to Abraham Lincoln High School in Council Bluffs, Iowa.
I'm Jim Cleary, House Research, and I went to high school mostly in Sleepy Eye, Minnesota.
Representative Rod Hamilton from District 22B, and I went to school in Humboldt High School.
Representative Lyle Coonan from Clara City in Chippewa County, and I went to high school in Maynard.
Representative Camp Eakin from Twin Valley, I represent District 2A in the Northwest, and I went to school at Twin Valley High School.
Larry Hawes, I'm representative of St. Cloud. I went to high school at Mankato.
I'm Dana
Wilson.
I'm
Committee
Legislative
6,
and I went to high school at Walden High School
and Christine Wisconsin.
Representative Hawes,
there's more than one school in Mankato.
I went to a couple, whichever one was accepting.
I see. Okay.
I graduated from Loyola.
Get lying. Let's just start on the end and bring it back.
Senator Dan Scogan from District 10, Fergus Falls, Wadena area, went to high school in Battle Lake.
Gary Kubley, representing Senate District 20. I live in Granite Falls, and I went to high school in a town that shares a name with Representative Junkie's favorite governor, Ventura, Iowa.
Steve Dill from the Vassal, state senator. I went to high school in Litchfield.
Sharon Erickson-Rope, state senator from Winona. I represent southeastern Minnesota, and I went to school in Two Harbors.
Dan Mueller, fiscal analyst for the Senate. I went to high school in Glencoe, Minnesota.
Greg Knapp, legislative analyst with the Senate, and I went to high school at Alexander Ramsey High School in Roseville.
I'm Bodden, Senate counsel. I went to high school at Shorewood High School, Shorewood, Wisconsin.
Tim Michaels, committee administrator. I went to high school with the Senate majority leader, De La Salle. I was an upperclassman.
Good. And quickly, we don't have that many. Who's in the room, just so we know who's interested in this bill? Just introduce yourself, who you're with, and tell us where you went to high school for kicks and giggles.
I'm John Atkins, a lot from Mesley and Kramer, I'm high school in Gale, and I'm going to be on Department of Services in South America.
Faith
A.
Rye, that's high school in Carmel, Indiana.
Acro.
Tim O'Connor, Minnesota Disabled American Veteran State Advocate, St. Paul Johnson High School.
John Burns, University of Minnesota Agricultural Experiment Station, with the High School of St. Patrick's in Washington, Iowa.
Tom Peterson, I represent the Farmers Union in Missouri, but I was homeschooled.
I represent the Veteran Medical Association, Golden Trump, and John Deere Senate. I was high school and
All right, on the sideboard. Name, who you represent, where you went to high school.
I became with the Lancers Project. I went to high school in Bobby Ambrose with Great River Energy. I went to the School of New York in a congressional district that had more towns than people.
One of the most representative of the Chamber of Commerce and the Minnesota Health Breeders Association, I went to high school at Buffalo Grove High School in Buffalo Grove, Illinois.
Ted Held from the Board of Animal Health, Hopkins High School.
Phil Herman, Executive Director of the Board of Animal Health, and I graduated from Technical High School in St. Cloud.
I'm Tom Hagerty, and the Veterans Medical Association, and I'm a graduate of Sacred Heart High School in Muskegon.
Front row. Yes, you.
Corey Bennett, Minnesota Agricultural Council, North of Public High School, University of Minnesota.
Jerry Schoenfeld, Seeker High School.
Who you represent?
County Fairs, Fort Lewis, and St. Louis.
Very good.
Tom Otterley, Minnesota EU Coalition, Red Wing, Minnesota.
Yeah, we got some staff over here. We need to know who you are, what you're up to today.
I'm Daniel Hicks from Rochester, Minnesota.
What do you do?
Cemetery research.
Hey.
Dan White, House of Public Research, and I graduated from the business.
David Musilevich, House DFL Research, Little Falls.
Kent Hartwig, Center of Public Research, North Scott High School, Elton, Iowa.
Chris Farley, I'm from Belpine, Arizona, and I was at the Minnesota Research School.
All right. Well, very good, and thank you for that. I think it's nice to know who's in the room. We don't always, especially the finance people. You guys are always hanging out, and we're never quite sure who you are or why you're here. So it's good to have you here. Let me just lay out a little bit of a roadmap that Senator Vickerman and I have talked about and hopefully everyone agrees with. Today what we're simply going to do is present the bills, talk about some of the differences on the side-by-sides, look at the spreadsheets from the fiscal standpoint, and understand where we're all sitting, and then we'll lay out later on our committee administrators have visited where they think there's differences. So for tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, we'll probably spend about an hour and a half roughly each day, maybe 2 hours of testimony on particularly House files that maybe the senators haven't seen and vice versa. There's a number of things that House members haven't seen or heard from the Senate side. So we'll be asking actually authors of bills to come and talk to us on their bills. We're going to really sincerely try and limit, unless we ask for it as chairs, for clarification, the testimony. We've had the general testimony in both bodies on these bills. The public has had a chance to weigh in. I think it's really us getting familiar with them. And so we're going to limit that testimony as much as possible to authors and or if the author needs a person or two to sit by them and help them out, that's fine. But again, we don't want to have a sign-up sheet with 100 people signing up and spend days and hours and going over some of this stuff unless we deem it's necessary, and certainly we can make that judgment as we go. So we'll lay that out by rule. You all know our targets are supposed to be here by Friday, so I guess we're kind of patiently waiting for that. We'll spend our time wisely here, but once we get the targets, then really that's the point that we can start really considering how we might put the finance part of this bill together. As far as the policy issues, there are policy issues in both these bills. Senate, it appears the policy issues were attached to finance, but they showed up on a policy spreadsheet also. But obviously, we've got more policy because we did our omnibus policy bills in here. Again, we're waiting for direction from people with pay grades above us on how to handle that. I think it's our sense we'd like to send out a single bill. if we could. I think at a minimum, we'd certainly like to discuss, if we have to, sending out two bills, an omnibus fiscal and an omnibus policy bill. But I don't know if anyone's got the appetite to do another, you know, 10 or 12 or 20 conference committee reports or other things on single bills on the floors of either body. So we're really pushing our leadership to hopefully just do a single bill going out when we're done with the agriculture stuff. As far as the gavel goes, standard procedure, I started today because it's a House file, but then when I adjourn today, Senator Vickerman has the gavel to convene the next meeting, whenever that is, and we'll rotate by meetings. That's how this committee will work. There may be days we don't meet for whatever reason. We don't have our targets. We're done with testimony. You know, we're not going to waste your time or staff or anyone else's time if we don't have anything to do here. But certainly if we do, we'll meet every day if we can and if we have to and keep things going. I'm going to present my bill now. Senator Vickerman, do you have any opening statements or thoughts you might want to pass along?
I want the public and anybody that's watching this, we want this bill to be put together as quickly as possible. Well, there's a lot of ag issues in here, but there's an awful lot of veterans issue in here that I want to get passed, and I think we can all agree on that. My preference would be to have this to the governor as fast as possible, have the governor sign it, and then we all are winners. I'm going to try to do that.
And obviously in the House, too, I concur with that. Like the Senate, this bill got very little, there was very little discussion against it. There were very few amendments to it as it went along the process, and it basically passed fairly unanimously in the body. So, and the governor's indicated this is one of the bills he likes. We'd like to get it to him early and take him to his word. So we'll see what happens. All right, well, I'm going to go over my bill in the House first, and then Senator Vickerman or staff on his side will go over some of the big things on the Senate bill, particularly things that are maybe different than the House bill, just to familiarize everyone with what's in here. I think you have the side-by-sides, if I'm not mistaken, and that's what I'll be working off of for the presentation. And again, as we go along, if you have questions, speak up. We'll try and recognize you, or certainly at the end of the presentation, if there's some clarifications or questions you have, feel free to ask them. Again, the first few...
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. Senator Vickerman.
But it would be helpful to me and probably a lot of them if you would tell what page it is.
I will do that. I'll try and do page and lines and that type of thing. Did you change everyone side by side or just mine? Hope I don't have more than you guys, no. All right, we'll try and go through this as quickly as we can, as orderly, but I think it's good we all review what's in these bills. And again, when we're done, we'll have the fiscal analysts go through the money part of it. So I'm not going to focus as much on the money as what actually is in here. Again, pages R1, 2, and 3 are all the money issues, and we'll go by those side by sides later. R4, on our side, you see showing up some clean water legacy money. As you work your way down, a lot of this was stuff that was in the base that came from the governor's and the agency budget. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. You've seen most of it, and I think most of it is the same. Invasive species on 3.2. You've got the electronic inspection for dairy. I think you all have that. We all have that testimony in committee on 3.26. 3.29 and 3.22, livestock premise ID and emergency planning things. Those are all animal livestock items. We move on to R5. And again, for the Senate staff, if there's differences on your side, I'll kind of let you point that out as you go with that.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to note one thing on page R4. If you look at 3.12 on the House side, you'll see a sentence in there about hiring additional employees that's not on the Senate side. So I just want to make sure to point that out, that there's a difference there.
Sure. Let me point out, that's good, and if staff would point to some of those differences, I'm happy to briefly explain as we go to. That is one difference. The House side felt that we're happy to give the department money, but we want the money to go out in the field and projects. And so we actually stipulated this isn't to hire more people downtown St. Paul, but rather get that money out to our district for projects. I think that's probably the intent of everyone, but we actually stated it in our bill, and that's the difference there. And again, feel free to point out, you probably got them, I should use your side by side. You got them all yellowed there. I see what I should be talking about. So, moving on to page R5, you'll see a difference right on the top of that page. It's the Duluth Port. That was a Murphy and Bach bill, and as you know, there were some grain inspection things at the Duluth Port, and we'll talk about that further. I know Representative Murphy was meeting with the Commissioner of Agriculture this morning on that, and we hope to come to some resolve, but we have a marker in there with the Murphy-Bach bill at this point in time for further conversation. 4.8, I got to try Minnesota Grown. There's some different, there is a difference there. The funding difference you see is $50,000 a year more on the House side. The House asked Minnesota Grown to basically put on a person, about $50,000 a year, one FTE, to simply promote Minnesota Grown products. As you can see there in grocery stores, restaurants, convenience stores. We think they can do more to promote our Minnesota-grown products, and we'd like them to get it more into Cub Foods and Rainbow and all our convenience stores, and it's good to see honey and things from Minnesota on those shelves. We're picturing the little Minnesota-grown labels coming out the sides of the shelf, just like you see the low-carb or the low-fat labels when you go in a store. Now, why not Minnesota-grown labels? So we gave them more money and asked them to do a specific project with that into the future. The next section, 4.29 on page R5, is the organic and sustainable sections coming up. This is the sustainable. We doubled the governor's budget. On your side, there was a bill introduced. I believe you funded the bill as it was. So we have a difference in money there, I believe, only. As we move on to the next page, again, it was the... should have highlighted my book here too better, because I'm reading as we go here rather than looking. This is the what's the next one here? What did you say?
The zoning.
Okay. Oh, this is livestock siting assistance. I think we're the same there.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Senator Dill.
Did I just hear you say back on page R5 that you increased the amount of money for sustainable agriculture?
Senator Dill, we doubled the governor's rec, or the base rec.
The Senate has even more than that.
That's correct. Ours is double, yours is even more.
Okay.
There was actually a bill that we heard in both committees. I don't know who carried it. I think it was your bill, Senator Vickerman, and it was Peterson's bill and ours. Asked for, I think, $210,000, what you put in. We trimmed it back, although we doubled the governor's base budget on that, is the point I made. So both of them are substantially more, but there is a money difference that needs to be sorted out. R6, again, moving on, integrated pest management monies, I think, are the same. We run into some differences here. Clean water legacy money is accounted for on R6 and our side, $2.7 million. And then you have some different language and dollar amounts, which we'll let you talk about when we get to your side there, if staff wants to make a note of that. There are some differences in what we did, particularly with the next gen money and the BMP type dollars in both bills. Page R7. This is the organic certification money. Again, this may take a little discussion. The dollar amounts are different, and Senator Dill, this is similar to the last one. The House side doubles the governor's base budget. The Senate side triples the governor's base budget on organic certification, and we can maybe get some testimony along the way from the department again. It's my recollection that we did some calculations on the number of organic licenses they expected to see, and it seemed to me that the $100,000 a year was going to cover cover that. And so we didn't go any higher, but we can certainly have that discussion and maybe some questions or answers from the department if they'd make a note of that.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Knopf.
Did you want to go through differences now with the Senate and House, or did you want me to explain those later?
I guess it's up to you. Would you rather do it as we go?
It might be easier for members to do it as we go. Okay. It's really up to you.
Why don't you explain then? We'll just go back one page, I think, is where the first difference was. You have $3 million and...
On page R6, well, first of all, on 5.17 of the House, you'll see may seek assistance from the local planning assistance center in the Department of Administration. You won't see that language on the Senate side. It's my understanding that they don't exist anymore. That's from the base rider from 2 years ago, and we just deleted them. I just wanted to point that out. And then the Senate also on 4.29 has the $3 million for the Ag BMP loan program, basically for cellulosic ethanol. And this is to basically provide money to people to purchase equipment, capital equipment, for growing cellulosic materials to be produced into energy.
Okay, and was this part of the Kubley bill?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, getting back to your cost share program, a couple of differences. One, that the House gives three-fourths of the cost. If you look on 6.5 and on the Senate 5.11, we have two-thirds. The House is up to $500 per person. The Senate is up to $350 per person. The Senate also says that they're only eligible for 5 years on 5.19 to 5.21, and then that $15,000 may be used for program development. The Senate language, the two-thirds and the 5 years maximum eligibility is from the existing program. The Senate committee didn't want to change that from the existing program. That's all I had on that.
Okay. Moving on to the next page, what you see there, and we should talk about this too as we put the bill together, but the House took the approach this year is both in our fiscal and our policy part. We actually set apart a bioenergy section. And it was our contention that as years go forward, it'd be great if people could look at the ag bill, find the bioenergy piece, which I think we've really taken ownership the last few years, and see those initiatives in that area. You called it value-added ag products, which I agree with too. Maybe we end up with bioenergy and ag value-added ag products at the end. It's a technical thing, but even that's important, I think, as we put our bill together for our future and our identity as we move forward. Page R8 is producer payments. I believe they're the same for the most part. That's our ethanol producer payments that continue. And by the way, they were increased again back to 20 cents this year from the last few years where they were a reduced amount. So, and they will continue on into this and next biennium and beyond for some of them. Page R8, and again, this will be some of the testimony we take later on in the week on the next generation stuff. If you remember, the governor's recommendation was to do $5 million each year in this biennium for next-gen loans and grants administered by the next-gen board. I will tell you, the House side, what we did on the next-gen is we this year did individual projects, of which you have some of those, the Boyce Fort, for example, the White Earth, the grass seed project, I think, in Roseau. You had those three. We added two more that we had testimony on that frankly came in later than your fiscal deadline, and so we're going to take some testimony on those also. But that's all we did the first year for NextGen. The second year, then, we funded, in this case, $4.4 million the second year, that then that money will be directed by the NextGen Energy Board, not only next year, but then in out bienniums as we establish this board. And we both have language in here to establish that board. So what we really have to come to grips with is the makeup of the board, if you will, and then the dollar amounts and types of projects they will administer. And we both have sections on that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Senate staff can certainly comment because we are going to spend, I believe, Senator Vickerman, maybe Thursday on all bioenergy and next gen and that type of thing, so we can really have a discussion on that. So I will leave that lay for now. Do you have any other comments, Mr. Knopf, on that at this point? All right. The R9, we caught one here in the House, which the Senate now, senators, you have $200,000 more over here. Basically, this was on 6.18 on the Senate side. That was an ethanol combustion efficiency grant. On our side, it was a Welty bill last session. This money went to Mankato State for a project, but the way the language was written, it was built into the base. Consulted with Representative Welty and Mankato State, they're done with that money. It was a one-time appropriation, so even though here it showed up in the base, it's not needed. We actually took that money and we moved it over to the milk fund, technically in committee. Representative Heigerk and amended that money over into our milk shelf money, our food shelf money for milk, just so you know what happened to it on the House side and on the Senate side. I suspect we don't need to leave that there.
Mr. Chairman, one issue you have with that, if you look, though, at 41A09, Subdivision 9, which is the money is provided under, it says that the commissioner shall issue grants or shall issue up to two grants. And it does, if you're going to make end the program, it might be a good idea to repeal that provision in law. And I don't think, didn't see that in the House.
And I don't know if there's a repealer or not. I know, Ms. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair, we did talk about that earlier, and we are aware of that issue, and Mr. Reynolds and I were talking about cleaning that up here.
Chairman, I recommend repealing it if you're not going to fund it anymore.
All right, staff can get to better on that cleanup. As we move down then on R9, again, this is a difference in the House and Senate, and frankly, we're going to have to talk, I think, across committees on this, and certainly, Mr. Knopf, you can comment, but this is the MISA money. The Senate puts in $1.75 million over 2 years. MISA, as we know, is Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture, housed over the University of Minnesota. Since my roommate, Representative Rick Avina, has about a $3 billion budget, and we have about a $100 million budget, I talked him into carrying that in his bill with his budget. And so it doesn't show up in the House at all. In fact, we put it in a different account, and the language is carried elsewhere. I have no problem with the funding levels or anything else on this. In fact, I think their request was a million plus a million. But I think we have to work with Pappas and Rick Avina and Vickerman and Junkie here and figure out where we want to carry that. And again, my preference would be to give them whatever they need but carry it in the higher ed budget. Obviously, that's to our advantage, but that's a discussion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we can visit with Senator Pappas, but since you're rooming with Representative Rukavina, we assume you'll be able to get him up to our targets.
We will on that. As long as, Senator Kubley, as long as you get the rest of the bill up to our targets, we'll all get out of here quickly. So
we're up to working on that. Sure.
Yep. And we certainly will. And we can point out where there might be some other MISA dollars floating around in here, too, that really aren't identified, but they're kind of in here and tucked mm-hmm. away, and that's a good thing. So moving on to R10, Mr. Knopf, I assume that's maybe more of the, I see some language on your side that's not ours. Is that more of the Kubley bill, or is that something different?
Mr. Chairman, it is. If you look at 7.5, you see the $150,000 for non-governmental entities. You do have language, though, in Next Gen and on a previous page. There wasn't really, couldn't really line this up, but allowing them to do up to $150,000. This is $150,000 guaranteed for that purpose for development of business plans. But you do have something comparable in the Next Gen language.
And we did take pieces, Senator Kubley, of your bill. It was carried by Peterson and put them in our Next Gen, the 60% ownership, some language like this. So we took pieces of it, but we didn't necessarily take the bill intact as we went through. R10, again, what you see here are those projects we talked about. Some are similar. The first one's the Olin Stump. There's a money difference. The House just gave $200,000 to five projects. We didn't pick winners and losers or dollar amounts. We just decided it was easier to give an equal amount to everyone. And in fact, in the future, you see that amount drops to $150,000 a year if we follow our Next Gen recommendations on some of this. But we gave $200,000. You basically, I think, gave what the bill asked for, which was $250,000 for the prairie grass research and breeding project up in Roseau. The next one is one we'll have to hear. It's a Beard-Roebling bill. Came in late. It's Coda Energy, who are working on a Coda Energy's down in Shakopee. They're a facility that's going to a biomass energy production, and they're not asking for money for that transition, but rather asking for money to study a loading depot or a product depot to receive, and how do we get product from the fields in Scott County into this plant to use for electricity, and they're asking for assistance in that type of research. Again, something that's needed in the future if we're going to handle cellulosic materials.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Mr. Senator Vickerman.
That's while I've got a sheet here, we will pass out. We'll pick these up because we did not hear this in a...
Right. And these will be some of the things we'll hear. You didn't hear them. It came in after your deadline, I believe. But we'll hear these over the next few days. I just want to give you a brief on that.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Cannon.
Just wanted to, you may want to speak to the one difference, and you can see in the church seat on R10, and you've got it in a number of places where you have an 8.23 where you have that they have to participate in the AURI. I thought you may want to mention that because that's a difference
right
here.
Let me lay out what we did on all these grants, and you'll see this intertwined in our bill, and again, hopefully we can talk about it, and it's a good idea. Number one, we required everyone who gets a grant to come back to the legislature and report. We want to know what happened to that money, how it worked, how the project went, give us some slides and some input on what was done with it. But then in the bill later on under the AURI section, everyone has asked who's going to be the leader for renewable energy in this state. Who's going to coordinate these activities? Is there any coordination going on whatsoever? Well, we through discussions, I think a lot of you have been involved. AURI has set up these renewable energy roundtables. They meet four times a year with stakeholders, everyone from legislators to the departments involved here in state government to colleges, university and MNSCU, to environmental groups, to grower groups. I think there were 70 or 80 people representing different groups that showed up at the last meeting over at the Department of Agriculture. And we asked them to continue in that lead role and meet four times a year and continue their work to be a coordinator on renewable energy so people have a place to go report and let folks know what's going on. So certainly if we're giving out money, and I'd encourage the NextGen board to do this in the future too, if we're giving out money, we're asking them to become a part of that renewable energy roundtable and share what they're doing with the rest of Minnesota who's interested in this topic. So you will see that in all our grants that they report here and they become participants in the renewable energy roundtable as an ongoing project. So you see that page R11 is the Dill Bach bill. That's the Boyce Ford. Again, just the dollar amount difference along with the language I just explained. Both sides have seen that. The next one is the Eakin Skoy bill, on the bottom of R11. That's the White Earth. I think both sides have heard that. Again, a dollar amount is the only difference there. R12 is two new projects, which we'll hear from. First one is a Hackbarth-Youngbauer bill, and that is for Elk River, and Minnesota Energy is looking at actually developing plasma technology to take waste, municipal waste, turn it into methanol, and sell it to our biodiesel plants as a renewable source in the methanol that's used for biodiesel production. So an interesting project, which we'll hear more from. The bottom of R12 is Kalen Olsen, and that bill came in late again, too late for you folks to hear it on the Senate side. We heard it. It's very similar, if you will, to the White Earth project, developing feedstock, if you will, for the cellulosic energy that we see coming, and they're doing similar things on the east side of the state that the White Earth are doing on the west side of the state. We go on to page R13, and now we're in the next section, and again, all this basically is department items on both sides. A lot of this showed up in their base. We didn't hear a lot of it, so if there's anything that people want to know more about, I don't know how, Senator Vickerman, if your committee really spent a lot of time on it. We basically looked at the base items as we rolled the bill out, and if there was no objections, we left them in there. And you see that reflected. We have the Northern Crops Institute on the top of that page. We have Minnesota Livestock Breeders get some money each year. Most of that, I found out, goes to FFA and other projects around the state. The next bill there, the $250,000, is an Otremba Skoy bill for the MEALC, the Minnesota Agriculture Education Leadership Council. And again, both sides were funded similar, although there's a little language difference we're going to have to take a look at there. R14 was my initiative. It's the fertilizer checkoff. We'll spend some time on that. That's the chair's bill here. To get away from the objections that some in this room had for some reason, even though they were part of the checkoff board and agreed to it, they had some problem with the checkoff fees. I said, fine, I guess it's my prerogative. I funded it with cash, and there's no checkoff, so that should take that objection away, and we'll talk about that, and hopefully we can move this on. It's for fertilizer research. I know you you've all seen it, but that is the cash we put in the second year for that initiative. Page R15, the top of the page is Faust Skoy for our Ag Societies, our county fair monies. Again, we're basically fully funded. For some reason, we're $1,000 difference. I think we can settle that fairly quickly. The next one down is the Governor's Initiative again, or the department base for the Forage and Turf Seed Advisory Committee. That's an ongoing appropriation. On the bottom is the Milk for Second Harvest we talked about. You put in the requested amount. Just a little history on this. I don't know who in the Senate carried it in the past, Senator Vickerman. I know it was David's in the House. And the original request, I think, was for $1 million a year on this, and we've really pared it back, obviously, to $200,000. We may ask them to come forward at some point and tell us what dollar amount takes them through the year. This basically, just to remind you, buys fresh milk for our food shelves around the state rather than giving them dated milk that they used to get, and technically, and in reality, it was probably sour by the time it got to the tables. So we think this was a good project for the House and the Senate to do, and we put $500 a year or $1 million into it, but we had bigger budgets, obviously, too. Page R16, again, that's $100,000 each year. That's the mental health piece for Central Lakes and Ridgewater. We have mental health counselors that work with our farm management folks that identify people that have mental health problems out on our farms and work with them. It's been a real successful program. That's a base budget item that's funded on both sides. The bottom of that is the Horticulture Society. Again, a little language difference, but basically the identical in both sides. Board of Animal Health is the next section, R16. Again, the money is very close. There's a little difference in language and earmarking in here, and I think we'll hear from them tomorrow or the next day just to clarify whether they need this line itemed out or if they're more comfortable with having a grant and they can use it as they see fit. In the House, we actually were rewriting some of their language. We did a number of repealers that they had asked for to clean up, and frankly, some of that was maybe done after your deadline again, too, to be fair, and Mr. Hartman's shaking his head. So we'll have some testimony on that. I think we can come to agreement on that fairly quickly. It's mostly technical. The dollar amounts are very similar, I believe. R18 is AURI. Again, they asked for $4.2 million a year. Senate was $2.3 million, and the House was at $4 million a year. And in there, again, with that request, in our language, you'll see they're asked to continue to be that lead with the renewable energy roundtables and continue to focus and make sure that gets done. The other difference, and again, this comes from a pay grade higher than Senator Vickerman and I, is the Senate put their compensation increases in a paragraph in every one of their bills separately. The House built them into the base. And so that's just a different way of handling those increases. They're different amounts in both bills also. So ultimately, we're going to have to hear from our leadership what the level of increase is for the pay supplements and how they want it handled, a separate paragraph or built into the basis. And we'll hopefully get a word on that as we move forward in our staff to track that. Page R18 bottom starts with Veterans Affairs. Part of the bill, and we're moving closer to the end here, members. Page R19, again, I think what you see there to begin with is the dollar amounts are different, but basically the language is the same, and it's all department bills, department requests on county service officers and the grant programs for all the various groups that have had that in the past. I think both sides increased substantially what they're getting, but obviously there was a difference in dollars, which we'll see on our spreadsheets, and that's something we're waiting for with our targets, and I think we can rectify some of these things fairly quickly. We both have, for example, you line item. We handle them different ways. The tribal service offices are line itemed in the Senate. We include it, but it's in the paragraph and in the language included within the rider. So, again, most of this is, I would say, pretty much the same language-wise, unless staff can point to something that's radically different there. Most of it came from the request from the department. R21, similar. As you look on the top of that page, everything from the Veterans Cemetery to the higher education programs, Again, the higher ed programs are identical. They asked for more. I think the Senate took the same tack as the House in the end, and that is we basically doubled our regional reps or our regional coordinators. They have a level out there now, eight or nine regional coordinators, and both House and Senate said we'll give you enough dollars to double what you have out there to, again, handle those returning combat vets that are going to school and entering our college system. On the bottom, you start seeing some things show up a little different. Senator Bickerman.
Mr. Chair, R21, we put money in for ombudsman, and you don't have that in. We felt that was an important thing to do to try and get the VA nursing home back on track.
Yep. That was a difference, and we'll have to hear some testimony on that. With what's going on with the Minneapolis home and other things, I know the Senate thought that'd be good use of dollars to set up an ombudsman for the veterans' home board and those families and others that use that facility. So that is one that's different. Good idea there. Moving to the bottom, we see some bills showing up. 18.26 is the Yaros bill. I don't know who had it on your side for compensation for playing at funerals. We did give money for that, and later in the policy language, you'll see that that priority is given to posts that don't have gaming or pull tab operations. So pull tabs can pay for this. And so what we're doing is targeting the money towards those that might not have resources for it if they need, and we really give the commissioner discretion to make that judgment. 18.3 is a Hawes-Kubley bill. Here it is showing up on the House side. That's the War Orphan Act, where we add spouses, and that's showing up on 18.3 to 3.2. Our next bill is an Otremba Erickson Ropes bill. Both of those people are sitting here. Depleted uranium, again, that was funded in the House, not the Senate. We will have testimony on that probably tomorrow, again, to hear the arguments on that and try and decide which direction we should go. But we fund that $1 million, $500 each year in the House side to get that program started. If you go to page R22, we'll hear testimony on the top 19.4 through 19.13. I'm sure there was a Senate author came forward with a request for money for the World War II Veterans Memorial, and it's money that they need right away. So we've basically financed it in this bill, even though this is OAID money. We also allow them to borrow from the general fund. There's language in this bill somewhere that allows them to borrow from themselves, basically, and pay back when this appropriation comes July 1st, because this celebration is June 9th, I believe, and I assume most of us will be there for that. Yes, Mr. Botter.
Just pointing out on the Senate side, you'll see Section 6 at the top of page R22. That is money that's reserved for some broader purposes, but there was testimony from the Department of Veterans Affairs that some of the money that would be available that's left over from the license plate revenues could be used for the same purposes that are shown on the House side. I think it's substantially less. And that also, since there's that June 9th date, it wouldn't even be the effective date.
Right. And there's also a separate bill traveling that Faust has, and I hope the other, so if we need to, we can jettison this out separately. We'd still have to account for it in our budget, however, and make that note as we move forward. The original request was for $500,000. We cut it to $250,000 and asked them to do matching funds, whether it's Hormel and Spam. Spam's participating with Spam sandwiches and things, and because they were a part of, apparently, the World War II effort, and there's others in the state that are similar, but we think it'd be very easy for folks to go out and get matching funds on this to make sure that some, I think 40,000 World War II vets out of 400,000 are still around, and we want to make sure they get down here and are celebrating that weekend. The next bill is a Fritz Erickson Ropes bill again. This one came in later probably than your budget deadlines allowed. There was a suicide down in New Prague, unfortunately, with a veteran who had returned from overseas, and really caught the attention of a lot of folks. This bill was introduced, and We had testimony from Military Affairs and the Veterans Administration and others that they'd be happy to participate in this if we fund it. Suicide prevention, it's basically setting up an existing hotline in the state and put with that then mental health and other information so that that's available, so that any veteran or any family member or any friend hopefully has a refrigerator magnet or something hanging on their fridge with an 800 number. They can call at the one-stop shop. I have someone who's suicidal, where do I go in Martin County? And they can quickly look up and say the hospital down the road has a place where you should go, and you should go there immediately. It's that simple, I think, but we gave them money to set that up. And also then to, there's money in here to also do a study on what the mental health needs are going to be of returning combat vets, not just this year with the flush that's coming back, but next year, 10 years and 20 years down the line, because we know these things don't always show up the first year, and I think this committee and this legislature are concerned about those folks now and into the future. And so this whole bill basically talks about how we handle mental health problems with our returning combat vets. That is it for the finance. You will see Military Affairs show up at the end of the bill. Very quickly, I'm going to run through some of the policy issues. Most of them are governor's things, so I'm not going to talk about them. We've all seen them. R23 starts the policy section, and again, that's the first page is how we reimburse for animals that go down from wolf and other damage. That was a Olin Ingebertson bill, and that was a department bill. R24 continues. These are all department bills. You don't see any difference in these. And the reason they're on the Senate side is these are department bills that actually had money attached to them, so you were able to put these policy items into your bill. So we do see some policy in the Senate side that will actually become statutory language and not rider language, which is what this section is.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just want to point out that some of these are brought in from other bills. There have been other bills that have passed the Senate, so it's not all.
We did put them in.
We did put them in the side by side.
Okay. All right. So these are either in the bill or they've passed the Senate.
Okay.
All right. And basically, again, R25, I'm not going to go over these. They're Minnesota grown. These are all department bills. They're identical. I don't think there was any. I'll stop if I think there was something that was, you know, took more than 2 minutes of discussion in our committees as we went forward. R26, again, policy bills that Faust and Vickerman carried, particularly on the bottom there, starting then onto R27. That's Faust-Vickerman department bills. R28, Faust-Vickerman department bills. R29, again, department bill. Faust-Vickerman did a lot of work, a lot of lifting here, it looks like. So these are, looks like the loan issues. These are RFA department bills for the RFA, is what you see there. R30, similarly, these are all, I believe, RFA provisions. Here's the first difference you see on the bottom of page R30. Again, this is the Murphy-Bach bill for the Port of Duluth, and that's the language from that bill that matched to the appropriation earlier on. Again, we're trying to get some resolve with that with Representative Murphy-Bach, Huntley, Yaros, and others in Duluth, and I think we will do that in the next day or two. R31 is a Saylor-Skoy bill. This is not in the Senate side, and we'll probably ask Representative Saylor and or Skoy to come in and talk about their bills. This is how we handle waste pesticide collection. We have a contract now, but that runs out here in another 2 years, year and a half, and then this lays out how we handle waste pesticide collection with our counties into the future. And so this whole section and others, it's kind of broke up through here, is dealing with that, and we will hear testimony on that. R32 bottom is, again, these are department bills. R33 is department bill, pesticide. You can see that pesticide on golf courses. I should go back. At the bottom of R33, we both got that in there. This was actually a piece that carried over from our fertilizer task force when we had it. By the way, it was Dill and Vickerman and Junkie and Blaine at the time that served on that task force a couple of years ago. And that addresses on-farm storage of liquid fertilizer and up to what amount you can do that without having the department involved and diking and everything else. R34 is a Junkie Dill bill on Fertilizer Research and Education Council. This was originally the fertilizer checkoff. Again, it's turned into a Fertilizer and Education Council bill that's funded with general fund money at this point. The only change in the bill that we've heard the last few years and that you heard this year is that we added on page R35, 32.123, we basically put a click-on, click-off on the checkoff. The legislature, if requested by formal order from the council, may implement, not must, may implement a checkoff fee to provide funding. So basically what I've done is taken the tack, we'll fund it if we have money. If we don't, or if the council requests, they come to us, ask us to turn the checkoff fee on. By their request, then, we discuss it in our committees, and we can click it on or off any session we want to as far as if there's a monetary need. So that's the only difference in that original bill that's been around here for 2 or 3 years that Senator Hill and I have carried, just so you can know that. And we'll talk more about that as we go forward. R36 is, again, agency bills. This was Welty and Wergen carried these bills.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Knopf.
On the Senate side, this was a provision, if you look on 1.7 to 1.10.
On page R36.
Page R36. The provision that was added in the Senate side, it was after reviewing the Senator Wergen's bill, I recommended to her that she put this in here. Otherwise, there's going to be some confusion, because if you read the existing law, and they're going to put a new definition of incident in this chapter, and then have one in another chapter, and this says that all those definitions also apply, that you have two definitions of incident.
Sure.
And so there'll be some confusion. So to avoid that confusion, the Senate added Section 1 to the bill.
And certainly, Mr. Knopf and Mr. Sullivan, on those technical issues, I'd ask both of you to mark those and then get together over coffee and figure it out, because I don't think Vikram and I are going to argue one way or another.
I just wanted to point out that.
I appreciate that. No, and I want you to point it out, and vice versa, so that everyone's marking where we need to make sure things are done. So I do appreciate that. R37, again, these are all department bills as we move through here. R38, again, department bills. On the bottom is a Faust-Wergen bill. And if you see differences we need to point out, let me know. R39, it was a Schumper-Hahn department bills. R40, it continues. R40, again, that's department on the bottom. That was for the fees for food handler facilities, grocery stores, if you will, setup and planning fees was changed. R41 was a Lowry Junkie department bill on a Food Safety and Defense Task Force, passed both bodies. R42, Schumper-Hahn again, department bill. A lot of department bills. R43 is all department bills, all the same. R44, again, these are all milk handling department bills. R45, it continues. R46, again, we'll have to talk about some of this as we go. And we're going to have, again, Board of Animal Health before us to talk. Couple different ways of handling the Board of Animal Health and what we did with them, and we'll talk about that. I don't think it's a big thing, and that's what you're seeing at the top of the page on both sides. R46 on the bottom, again, a substantial difference that we're going to have to come to some agreement on, was the Kubley bill on cellulosic biofuel development. It was a Peterson bill in the House that actually went to policy, Representative Kubley, then it went to it went over to Bill Hilty's Energy Committee. It was heard. Then Wagenius took pieces of it and put it in her environment bill. The bill never physically traveled to my committee, and we never actually heard the bill, other than I was very familiar with it as it traveled around, and we took some pieces of it, and it's in here. But certainly the main issue, members, as we go forward, are we ready to set up producer payments for cellulosic ethanol into the future? And it's a good question, and I think something this committee will be talking about the next couple of days, particularly Thursday, Senator Kubley. So,
Mr. Chairman, did you want to... Sorry to skip back, but
yep,
Section 38 in the House and 22 on the Senate. Did you want to talk at all about some of the differences in that now?
On which
fairly
page?
Technical page R46, the page we were just on.
On the top part of the page?
Section,
sure. Go ahead.
Well, the language is just a technical difference in paragraph A. In B, it's a little more substantive, but I'm not sure it's that substantive. Basically, it says that the board must conduct a lien or mortgage search on the Senate side, and on the House side, they just say that it's subject to the requirements of Chapter 336A, which is a farm product license and financing statement law. So it may be, and I can't tell you that I'm that familiar with 336A, but it may be that the differences aren't that great between the two. I just wanted to point out that there are differences.
That's maybe one of the Knopf Sullivan amendments that will come later. All right, very good. Thank you for that. Again, R46, 47, 48, 49, these are all Senator Kubley's bill up to page R51. Then we get to the bottom of R51, and again we have department bills showing up again on R51, R52. I don't know why the gaps are there, Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, I think I can explain the gaps. Mr. Chairman, you included in Section 40 on page R51 and also in Section 44 in the House side and R52, you included language changing all of the RFA programs so that anybody eligible to own farmland under the corporate farm law would be eligible, whereas the Senate maintains the current law where it has to be a domestic family farm corporation or a family farm partnership. The issue here wasn't necessarily, I don't think that it was necessarily that the Senate didn't want to do this. It was just in the haste of putting together an omnibus bill. This was language that didn't come in a separate bill. It was only in the language of the department's omnibus bill. The question was, it seemed like it was a little bit bigger of a policy decision than was going to be afforded during that process.
We can maybe talk to the department, confirm with them or the RFA folks why they want one way or the other, or if it matters, and what would really work for them.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, those have been fairly controversial in the past, and the Senate chose not to include it at this point.
We'll maybe take a couple words from someone on that as we move then, if you would. Mr. Michaels.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point out that on page 46, one of the items, I wanted to point it out because it's one of the items staff had identified for further discussion. You give rulemaking authority to the board, Animal and Medical Board, for the control of bovine tuberculosis, and later on in the bill, repeal some of the existing rules, and we did neither of those. So we're asking for some testimony.
And good point. Mr. Michaels and Ms. Beyer talked about some of these things previous to committee, and that's one of them. And you're right. What they did is they really sunset a lot of their language, and they're redoing what they're up to over there, streamlining and making changes. And we'll make sure we get them to the table, so I appreciate that. Again, we're R52 now, back to where we were. These are department bills. R53 is department. R54. 5, again, we're back to RFA, cleanup language and technical changes. R56 was a Conan, bottom of the page is Conan Kubley, the open air swine basin extension of that ban for 5 years. I think I heard and agreed on by both sides.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out that is in Senate File 1312. Senator Chaudhry picked it up. It was Senator Kubley's provision, and it passed at the Finance Committee this morning and identical to the way it is here.
Okay. So hopefully we can include that in a number of bills, and we'll get it done. Bottom of that is certainly a bill that we'll have discussion on from the authors. It was Conan and Kubley, and this is the animal husbandry bill that was heard in the House and passed, and I don't believe it was passed in the Senate. So that will be a difference we will have to talk about. You see that bill continue through to page R58. The bottom R58 is false old scene on camping at fairs. That was heard and passed in both bodies. R59 was an amendment added by Representative Rukavina. So it doesn't show up on the Senate side. It was done as an amendment and basically directed at humane societies. They've got apparently a problem up north. I haven't heard it in the other parts of the state where the Hennepin County Humane Society has become the de facto authority up there when there's a complaint on Humane Society complaint. They're showing up and enforcing it up in St. Louis County. Representative Kubli is just asking that local law enforcement and local entities do the enforcement and that we not be traveling around the state with Humane Societies on this. So if we need more on that, we'll certainly get my roommate, Representative Rukavina, down here. I'd be happy to have him in and before the Ag Committee to explain what he's up to. R-59 was a Swigum-Murphy bill passed in both bodies on poisonous plants. On the bottom, R-59 is that Saylor and Scoy waste pesticide bill again. That's another piece of that we saw earlier. R-60 was a bill in both bodies, an antimicrobial pesticide application. It was a Hansen and Sieben bill. Hansen did pass it, and we put it in our bill. It's basically, and the department's coordinating with this, it's basically licensing people that do fungicide applications and other things for mold control. In the Twin Cities, that's got to be a big problem, as you know, the mold problems and all that. We thought, at least Sieben Hansen and the department has been working with them, thought it was a good idea that these folks be licensed and at least have a little credibility as they're selling their services.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Knopf.
Just point out that Senator Sieben's bill, it's still in the Finance Committee. It was heard by Senator Vickerman in the Ag Committee this year, but it's still sitting in the Finance Committee. The only difference is I looked at the bill earlier today, and you clarified the mold control. Other than that, it's basically identical to what you have here.
Right. So, again, if we need to, we'll have Hansen come in and or the department and visit with us on that and see if we want to include that or not. R-61, again, you see repealers on there, and we'll certainly study those as we go. A lot of those were some of them we've already talked about with Board of Animal Health and others. R-61 on the bottom is, again, what we're going to talk about on Thursday. Both set up the next-gen energy boards. Pretty similar way, but there are some differences. We need to talk about differences in membership and some language differences, so we will talk about that. R-62 is the chairman's initiative, this chairman, on lines 53.2. If you remember, we did the 25 and 25, which I commend this legislature and this governor for doing earlier on. However, that was for electricity. And I think this closes that gap. And this is being carried over in the energy bill with Hilty and I don't know who on the Senate side too, I suspect. But basically, I've taken the same language you see here on 52.2. The first half of that is similar to what Colin Peterson's carrying in Congress right now, to make sure that all energy, including liquid fuels and gases and other things, are from renewables into the future. And for agriculture, I think that is our future, along with the electricity, the windmills and the solar and the other things. This is our biofuels and this is our future. And we want to make sure that we're outlining, in my opinion, a goal that we want to reach that by 2025 also. The bottom part of that, just correspondingly, so I'm not inconsistent in statute, as you know, by 2012 we're moving to an E20 level or doubling our use of ethanol, whichever comes first. And I just simply clarified that if we go to 25 by 25, that means ethanol would be 25% by then too. So that changes existing statutes to correspond to that goal that was stated earlier. On the bottom again of R-62, it's more honor guard language that goes with the Yaros Solon language. Mr. Bodern.
The provision there is very similar. Depending on how you read it, the House provision might cost quite a bit more. There's some discussion in the Senate about that first sentence where you find a death when a person is honorably
served serve 6 or more years,
whether that would be limited to guard service or not. If not, if I say the cost, that would be a lot higher.
Why don't you and Mr. Cleary make a point on there? We have to clarify that as we go forward. R-63, again, that's the Otremba Erickson Ropes statutory language on the DU depleted uranium bill that you saw funded earlier. R-64 on the bottom, again, more of the Yaros language, up to $50. And this is where you see
On 55.9 and down, you see some added language that priority be given to those that don't have charitable gaming operations, etc. We give money to students if they play taps and apply. And again, we're giving a lot of discretion to the commissioner to sort through and decide who's going to get these grants as we go forward. Kubli Hawes, war orphan language is on the bottom of 64. Again, put in the House. That is not showing up on the Senate side. We'll have a discussion on that as we go forward. R68 is the final part of the Fritz Erickson Ropes mental health study. That's language there that sets up the study. The first paragraph is a study with the Department of Military Affairs, Veterans Home Board, and others discussing how we treat mental health in the future, and we funded that earlier in the bill with the money. The bottom part there was a measure that I added. For those that don't know, there is a Veterans Home Board facility being planned currently for Candiota County. The pre-design is done. We've asked this report to be back by November, which would be in time for our bonding year. And we've asked them to also discover the facility to be built in Wilmer was for geriatric mental health treatment, a specialty, not like the regular Veterans Home Board facilities today, but a special unit for mental health. And so we've also asked them, perhaps we should incorporate mental health services for the younger folks coming, the younger combat veterans coming back. It's not too late to do it. We haven't laid one brick yet. This is on the list in Congress also, so we're tracking on a federal level. This is both state and federal dollars. But I think it's worth asking, if they're doing that study, to discover if we can maybe utilize the facility that's being planned out in rural Minnesota right now for some of that treatment into the future also. So that is it. I missed page 67. No, I don't think I did. That's the Hawes Erickson Ropes.
Second number.
Oh, okay. Representative Hawes is sitting at the end of the table. This was a Hawes Erickson Ropes on who adding people to the Veterans Home Board or who'd be qualified to sit on that board. It was a bill they both carried. We put it in here as one of our policy bills, and we'll certainly talk about that. I don't think it's controversial. R64 starts the Veterans and Military Affairs again. Basically the same. The big difference, obviously, is dollar amounts because we had different targets. There's also, I would say, the only real substantive, and I'd ask my military affairs folks on this, but the House side puts in Starbase money, and Starbase, it's a program where they use the National Guard armories for inner youth recreational and educational programming. And Representative Kahn actually carried the military affairs part of this in her her committee this year, and we moved it over in finance committee in here. So I'm not overly familiar with it, but I know Mr. Cleary probably is, and I think that's the biggest difference in the two, if I'm not mistaken. Mr. Cleary, is that true? Okay. That is correct. Upside down here. Okay, R71, again, language, honor guard language shows up there. Both sides have that. Military affairs had a piece of that honor guard as well as veterans affairs. So depending if you were working with active or reserve units or National Guard units and others. And so there were two places for the honor guard. R71, 61.5 down to 61.17 was an amendment on the House floor from Representative Heigerken. And real quickly, we have town team baseball out in rural Minnesota and softball, fast pitch softball leagues run by Minnesota Amateur Athletic Associations. They have a rule, apparently, that if you don't play in four regular league games, you cannot participate in tournament games. Apparently, the flush of combat vets coming back, hopefully in August, may be back in time to play tournament games. And Heigerken claims they're warming up their arms over in Iraq as we speak. And the amateur athletics at this point is not willing to waive that four-game must-play-in-league-play rule before tournaments. Heigerken thought it'd be a good idea if
to let these guys come back and get right into tournament play, and so he added that as a rider. We can certainly discuss it. I don't know that it's that controversial. It's kind of a shot over the head, I realize that, of the amateur athletics, but I guess we want to see our guys playing ball if they can when they get back. And that was Heigerkin's argument. It passed unanimously on the floor. R-72, I'm not sure what that is. That's part of the military affairs language. Again, it's in the House. It was policy issues in the House that didn't show up on the Senate side, but part of the military affairs budget and policy that came over. That is the bill before us, members. Is there any questions to the side-by-side we just went over? Anyone at this point? Okay. Otherwise, I guess with your permission, Senator Vickerman, maybe we can move on and have staff, Mr. Michaels and or Beyer, lay out what we're looking at testimony-wise over the next few days. I think you've heard it, and hopefully we're tracking with them on some of the issues we need to hear. And so they've kind of put together, we hope, a schedule for the next couple of days in this committee and what we'll be hearing about. So, Mr. Michaels, are you prepared?
Chairman, all right. We refer to a document that's
in your packet.
The audience should have a copy. It says Agriculture Veterans Omnibus Budget Conference will be April 25th, 2007. That's the meeting for tomorrow. We intend to meet at 1 o'clock from 1 to 3, provided we can get done with the House
session in time. Oh, yeah, we'll be done by noon. Noon 30.
These are the issues that we've identified as needing some testimony,
some further discussion
under Veterans Affairs. The suicide prevention R-22, Starbase Minnesota Program, and R-70, the World War II Memorial Dedication Ceremony, in R-22. Also, under Agriculture, the Waste Pesticide
Collection
Program, R-31, the Residential Antimicrobial
Pesticide Applicator
License Study, in
R-60,
the Board of Animal Health Appropriations,
just discussing whether the Board would have individual appropriations or if they want the block grant, the rules for control of bovine tuberculosis, which the House gave the board rulemaking authority, but that's not in the Senate position, and then some of the repeal of rules for control of bovine tuberculosis in R-61, and then we'll conclude with some discussion of animal husbandry issues, which are in the House side but not in the Senate side. On Thursday, we plan to have a two-hour hearing, probably going in at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to discuss the next generation biofuels proposals, both the House and the Senate proposal, as well as the additional earmarks for the three projects, the Elk River, Chisago County, and Le Sueur County. Okay, any questions on that schedule? And we can certainly add or subtract depending on members' wishes here, too. So if there's something else you think should be on there, certainly let Kate or Tim know, and they'll put it on there. Senator Vickerman.
Mr. Chair, going to be very, very particular. We're not going to take 4 hours hearings on every one of these.
Right.
I'm sharing it. I'm going to give you maybe 10 minutes, 15. I don't want to hear from, I want to hear one person for, one person. Figure out who you want to do that rather than spend 2 hours going back and forth.
And for the most part, I think we'd like to see the authors here to defend their bills or talk about their bills, and if there's someone on the other side of their bill that doesn't like it, that's certainly allowable. But for the most part, this is a point in the session, as folks know, that authors need to defend their bills and talk about their bills and let us know why they're passionate about it or don't want something in here. So we're going to try and stick to that. Okay, one last thing then. We need to do our side-by-sides on our fiscal, and we'll have our fiscal staff, I guess. I don't know who's doing it. I think they're splitting the duty. Mr. Mueller, are you starting? And then Mr. Reinholz.
Sure. I can talk, Mr. Chairman. I'll talk briefly on the general fund, just overall how much spending is going on. If you want to look at the top page, there's sort of a summary sheet.
Does everyone have the sheet he's talking about? Kind of hold it up and show people what your is
mine. Mr. Chair, it's in the spreadsheet number one is the tab.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman and members, Mr. Reynolds and I worked together. I put together this first page. Mr. Reynolds has included a very detailed spreadsheet and a summary level spreadsheet. We'll probably just go through it. I'll let Jim and I will go through the summary level one, but don't be intimidated by a 14-page spreadsheet here. We'll only use a couple of them for now, and the rest of them we may use later when we put the bill together. But overall, when we're talking just general fund, the way the departments in this budget area were at $134.646 million. Just in reference, I included the governor's numbers on here, and this is for 08-09. The governor is at $174.319 million, which was 39.6 above the base. So right below that is what you see is the change items, which is above the base. And coming from the Senate perspective, we've been liking to look at things one time versus ongoing, so I included that also as split out the change versus base. The House is $40.4 million over the base, and the Senate's $32.045 over the base. And then the difference you see just between the House and the Senate is on the right-hand side. And then in 10 and 11, it's a little bit different, mostly because the Senate has that ethanol producer payment program starting in the tails is what makes the Senate number then bigger than the House in the tails. We're 31.666 over the base. The House 25.7 over the base, and then for comparison, the governor was $45 million over the base in the tails. And that's mostly because the governor had that next gen program that was growing bigger in the out years. So,
and certainly, Mr. Mueller and members, obviously the big differences here were the budget and the Senate at one time had a, I think you had a lot of one time money like we did, and that kind of got pulled back and put into a separate bill in the Senate. We maintain that here, and so a lot of this money here was one time money that we still have in the bill that you didn't. We're working hard to get that money back on the Senate side because I think we can do some good things and agree on a lot of stuff if we can come up on that target. So we're working with leadership, and we also had a tails target we worked with in the House, and we stuck pretty close to that. Our Ways and Means Committee gave us a tails target, and we couldn't go over that. So we, for example, the next gen money, we earmarked it $150,000 in each year, but we certainly didn't fund the $9 million in each year because we had to stay within our targets, at least at this point.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, to that point, on the Senate side, because we had that ethanol payment program that started up in the out years, we actually were able to get a larger tails target than our 08-09 target. So that's why we had to make a little bit. And to keep within our tails target, we had to make a few other appropriations one time that the House was able to make ongoing. And to the point of the, on the Senate side, we had Senator Cohen that carried a separate one-time funding bill. And for this budget area on the Senate side, there was only two provisions that came out of that one-time bill. That was the clean water appropriation. And then, at least carried on the spreadsheet, there's a $50,000 appropriation for the let's see here now. It's called the, it's to the U of M for an enology laboratory. It's dealing with wine making and studies. And that was actually in the Senator Cohen bill, but since it was in the ag area of his bill, we're tracking that in this conference committee. So on that, I guess we'll turn to the second page of the spreadsheet, and Mr. Reynolds and I will probably just focus on that center column there, the differences between the House and the Senate. Now, this spreadsheet here just focuses on 08-09, and if we have questions about tails later on, some of those that information is later on in the spreadsheet, but I think for now we'll just focus on 08-09. The first major difference you see is in clean water. Again, the Senate appropriation of $4.5 million is actually in a different bill, but we're tracking it here. And that was the governor's number, but we're carrying it all in 08. The next item of difference is the compensation adjustment. And again, that ties to, when we were going through the language, the Senate funded all the compensation adjustments to each agency at 3.25%. And that's across all agencies in state government. So we carried a higher number than what the governor and what the House is carrying on the compensation adjustment. And then the Minnesota Grown Program, the House is $100,000 more than the Senate. And then Next Gen Bioenergy
and Mr. Reynolds may want to explain that, but it looks like just a portion of the governor's initiative on that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's correct. And that, Mr. Chair, you spoke of that as you went through. The House did put some dollars in there for the governor's initiative, and the Senate did not in that area. The next item really is a Senate item.
Mr. Chairman, the next two items come from Senator Kubley's bioenergy bill, and it's a one-time $3 million appropriation for revolving loans. And then the next one is for the business plans, which you actually have captured some of that funding for that rolled into one of your other appropriations. The next item is the appropriation for MISA, the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Ag. Again, that was all, those three items were all a part of the Senator Kubley bill. When you see the blank item there, the bioenergy producer payments, there is a cost out in fiscal year 2011 for that, and that's at $11 million. Next is the House item.
Mr. Chairman, members, next on line 31 is the combustion efficiency grants that you mentioned we eliminated in the House bill. They originally was a one-time only, and we've taken that out here. Line 32 and 33, they're similar positions. The House is slightly lower in the funding on both of the sustainable ag and organic products cost share. Well, same. The funding is the same on the ag leadership. The funding is the same on both sides on the County Ag Society funding increase. The next item on line 40 is the $800,000 that the House has for the fertilizer checkoff that was described when we went through the language. On line 42, both sides have the Turf Council grant. House is $50,000 less than the Senate. Line 44 is the biomass depot grant in either Scott or LeSueur County that on the House position only that the chairman described as we went through the language. 45 is indicating the Boys Fort grant. Both sides have that. The Senate at $100,000 more than the House. On line 46 is the food shelf milk distribution. That's got a base amount of $200,000, and the House then increases that by $300,000 in each year. And the Senate obviously is at the base position. 47 is the White Earth Band Renewable Energy Grant. Both sides have that. The Senate at $100,000 more than the House. 48 is the plasma gasification study. Mr. Chair, you mentioned that. The Senate, that's a House-only position. The East Central Renewable Energy Grant that was described as we went through the language is shown here at $200,000 House only. $50,000 is the item on the subsidizing, keeping the grain inspection open at the Duluth port as a House only position. $51,000 is a Senate only position that I believe Mr. Mueller discussed is in another bill. It's in the one-time only bill, I believe. We're carrying that here to account for the dollars. That's the Department of Agriculture items that are general fund. We're also listing here the non-general fund items on 57. The retail food handler plan is the same in both sides. That was a governor's initiative. 58 shows the House-only position of funding the pesticides through the residential pesticide study. That was carried over in the House. 59 is the pesticide collection increase that Chairman Junkie described as we went through the language. That is a House-only position. 60 is the showing the Minnesota Grown change, and that was a governor's initiative with the same on both sides. We then move into the Animal Health Board. Line 64 is the bovine TB appropriation. They're slightly different numbers and slightly different years. I'm not sure if there's any language difference, but very close, only $5,000 more in the House than the Senate has. Line 65 is the compensation adjustment. That's the differences there is the House used the governor's percentage, Senate used their larger number. Line 67 is a House-only provision that is showing $100,000. They have language to change the reimbursement limits on animals that are going to be destroyed, and that will cost the Animal Health Board estimated $100,000. AURI Line 73, the House and the Senate positions both have an increase, the House considerably more at a total of 4.8 for the increase. The Senate is at 1.4 on the increase, and I believe the Senate has some language that directs that for particular use. It's a little different than the House, and we'll look at that when we go through. Turning to page 2 of the changes, most of these items in Veterans Affairs were governor's items, and we both have to begin with. So the state soldiers were the same. The county veteran service officers grant, you see the House is 1.4 over the appropriation amount that the Senate recommends. Line 81, tribal services is the same in both sides. That was the governor's rec. The MACV homeless initiative grant, that the House is $500,000 over the Senate for the biennium. Both have it though. 83 and 84 and 85, all were the veterans initiatives brought forth by the department or the governor were the same. Line 85 is the Higher Education Assistance Office. Both are the same, although I should mention less than was requested by the governor. 86 was the governor's initiative on information technology, and 87 on the Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls. 88 was an administrative service increase. Both sides are the same. 89 here is the compensation adjustment. Once again, the Senate is higher than the House using that, I believe, 3.25% increase. 91, that's a House-only position that was mentioned on the Honor Guard reimbursements. 92 is the funding for the military spousal education benefit, House only. 93 is the funding for the screening, health screening, that is a House only. 94 is where the House has dollars available for the memorial service, the World War II memorial service. 95 is the funding for the vets counseling that was pointed out in the language. Military Affairs Department, moving down on line 104, the first difference there would be the maintenance, armory maintenance increase. House is 1.9 over the Senate. The same positions on special assessments, the reintegration program, and the general support employees. The compensation adjustment on 108, once again, the Senate would be higher than the House. 109 and 110 are related to the Starbase Minnesota program. Those are House-only positions. 111 is Honor Guard reimbursements. Both sides have the same. I'm not sure how that came out, $1,000 difference, but they came through that way somewhere. All we have next, following that then, is really a summary. Line 120 shows the total general fund expenditures on both sides. As the summary page that Mr. Mueller went over before shows, the House is $8,393,000 higher than the Senate. And that now shows the differences. And really, Mr. Chairman, it seems that a lot of items are very similar, and there's not that many differences.
So, thank you. Anything else, Mr. Mueller?
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of items back up in Veterans Affairs. I want to note that, since we're not showing details, that the Senate, the MACV homeless grants, and the marketing outreach grants are one-time, or 08, 09 only, and the House's, the HESO offices are one-time, and the Senate has them ongoing. So, just a little bit different in tails, and depending on what we get for tails target, some of those we may be able to make ongoing. So,
and we'll take some testimony on that and other things. I just want to point out before we leave, Commissioner has been hanging around in the back room too, and Commissioner Hugeson, welcome. And certainly this committee's intent to continue dialogue with the Commissioner's office, who is obviously speaking for the governor also, and has full authority to do that. And so we appreciate you being here, and we're certainly looking forward to working with you over the next week or so here to get things put together in a good way for all of us. Yeah. Any questions, member, to anything we've gone over today? We're about right here, a couple hours, and we're going to try. What we're trying to do is rotate with the Environment Committee because we share staff with them on both sides here, and we don't want them running up and down the elevators as little as possible. And so that's why you're seeing these times shift on meeting times. We're trying to rotate our meetings with them over the next few days. Tomorrow is 1 o'clock, I believe.
1 o'clock. We're definitely done at 3 p.m.
Senator Vickerman has the gavel. He's going to keep it tight. We're going to start at 1, and we should be hopefully out of here close to 3. With that, members, we are adjourned.